sincerely hope that everything is well with your soul this morning. And if you are troubled in your soul, then we'd pray that you would make things right with the Lord today before you even leave this place. You know, one of the reasons that things can be well with us is because we have the Word of God. We have the Scriptures. We believe them. We trust them. And our faith is based completely and solely upon them. I'd like to talk to you this morning about the Apostle Paul. And, of course, we're familiar with him and how he was formerly known as Saul. He was one who was very zealous in the Mosaic law. He was absolutely convinced that Jesus of Nazareth was not the Messiah. He was so convinced of that that he persecuted Christians. He was even there at the stoning of Stephen, you remember, and held the coats of those who actually did the stoning. But from that day forward, we find that Paul was very vehemently arresting and persecuting Christians. One day on the road to Damascus, as he's going to Damascus to persecute Christians there, to arrest them, bring them back to Jerusalem, we find that the Lord appeared to him. And Saul changed from someone who was absolutely convinced that Jesus of Nazareth was not the Messiah to one who was absolutely convinced that he was the Messiah, that he was our Lord, that he was our Savior, that he was our Deliverer. He obeyed the gospel, and from that day forward, he dedicated his life to serving Jesus and building his church. I want you to consider with me some things that Paul was certain of. This is not everything that he was certain of, but these are some things that Paul was certain of and that we can be certain of. He was certain that he could do all things through Christ. In Philippians chapter 4 and verse 13, the familiar passage, Paul said, "I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me." In our teenage class this morning, we were looking at Ezra and the second return of captives from Babylonian captivity. And as Ezra was gathering the people together who were going to go back to Jerusalem with him, one of the things that he was concerned about was their safety along the way and the enemies of the Jews that they would meet along the way. And they considered, well, should we ask King Artaxerxes for the army of Artaxerxes to go with us, to accompany us, to keep us safe? And then Ezra got to thinking, well, you know, here we are. We say that we're servants of the Most High God. And certainly if we are the servants of the Most High God, then the Most High God will provide protection for us. We don't need the army of Artaxerxes. Good thinking. They did not request the army. And so it is also that for you and I, that sometimes we put our faith and our confidence in our government, or the military, or money, or relationships, or all kinds of things, instead of putting our confidence in Christ. If God is for us, who can be against us? Paul said, "I can do all things through Christ." He said this in the context of, I've lived in times when I have had more than enough, and I've been in times when I've had barely anything and didn't know if I was going to survive. But I made it through all, and I can do all things, and I can conduct myself in a right way before God and before others because Christ lives in me. Without our focus on Christ, we wouldn't have that certainty. In Exodus chapter 3 and verses 11 through 12, we find that Moses said to God, "Who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and that I should bring the children of Israel out of Egypt? And God said to him, I will certainly be with you. Moses was correct. Who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and demand that he let the children of Israel leave Egypt? Why would he listen to me? But just like Paul said, I can do all things through Christ, Moses was made to realize here by God that God was with him, and that with God with him, he could do all things. Joshua is very similar. Moses would die. Joshua would take over leading the children of Israel into the promised land. God said to Joshua, as I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not leave you. I will not forsake you. We look at these statements by God to Moses and to Joshua, and we say, boy, I wish we had that kind of statement from God to us. And you and I need to realize that in a very real way, we do have that statement. Remember when Jesus gave the apostles the what we call the Great Commission, to go and to teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. In Matthew 28 and verse 20 it says, I will be with you always, even to the end of the age. I will be with you always. Well, the apostles, of course, are not here till the end of the age. They didn't live to the end of the age. But there are still those who are observing all things that Christ has commanded. And what Christ is saying here is that I am going to be with you always as long as you are abiding and practicing the things which I have commanded. Just as God said to Moses, and just as God said to Joshua, I will be with you. Jesus has said to us, I will be with you if you observe all things I command you. The Hebrew writer was aware of that and reminded us of it in Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 5. He says, He Himself has said, I will never leave you or forsake you. What's the Hebrew writer saying there? He's saying that when he said that to Moses and when he said that to Joshua, he wasn't just saying it to Moses and to Joshua. He was saying to everyone who will be faithful to him and will do his will. Paul was certain that as long as we kept our focus on Christ, we could do all things that God would have us to do. Without our commitment to Christ, we wouldn't be able to do that. Philippians 4 and verse 9, it says, The things which you have learned and have received and heard and saw in me, these do, and the God of peace will be with you. The God of peace will be with you when you do the things that you have learned and received and heard and saw. In the example of Paul, and in the example of all the faithful. In 2 John chapter 1 and verse 6, it's only one chapter in 2 John, of course. John wrote, This is love, that we walk according to His commandments. And this is the commandment, that as you have heard from the beginning, you should walk in it. We must know His commandments in order to keep His commandments. And knowing His commandments, we need to walk in His commandments. And as we walk in His commandments, we need to know that He is walking with us, that He lives in us. And go back to Joshua chapter 1 again, and notice, we've noticed part of this, but let's look at verses 5 through 9. As God said to Joshua, As I was with Moses, I will be with you. I will not leave you, nor forsake you. Only be strong and very courageous, that you may observe to do according to all the law of Moses, which my servant commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left, that you may prosper wherever you go. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and of good courage. Do not be afraid, nor be dismayed. For the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. The principle is stated over and over and over again, isn't it? For God to be with Joshua, he needed to continue in the law of God that had been given by Moses. Not add to it, not subtract from it, not turn to the right or to the left, but do just as it was given. Meditate on it. Observe it. According to all that is written. Don't leave anything out. And he says, as long as you do this, you're going to live a prosperous life. You're going to live a happy life. You're going to be able to do what I'm telling you to do. To take these people across the Jordan River and to conquer the land and inhabit it. Be strong. Be courageous. Trust me and do what I tell you to do, and everything will be fine. That principle applies today too, doesn't it? If we trust God and do what He tells us to do, everything is going to be fine. Paul was certain that he had a perfect Savior. In Colossians chapter 3 and verse 24, he says, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the reward of the inheritance, for you serve the Lord Christ. He was certain that Jesus was the Lord Christ, and he was certain that he and all the faithful were going to receive the reward of this inheritance because they served the Lord Christ. He didn't just think it. He didn't just feel it. He knew it. And he wanted those who read the things that he wrote to know it as well. That we have an inheritance with our Father. That we serve our perfect Savior. In spite of suffering, Paul remained focused on Christ. You know, Paul's life wasn't a bed of roses, you might say. He suffered much. Remember 2 Corinthians chapter 11 and verses 23 through 33. We're just going to read through verse 30 here. But it says, are they ministers of Christ? These false teachers that had come to the Corinthians, are they ministers of Christ? They declared that they're ministers of Christ. What are their credentials? Well, they've got their credentials that they've been Jews for a long time, and they've got generation upon generation in the of Jewish heritage and so forth. Is that their credentials? I speak as a fool. I am more. Look at my credentials. In labors, more abundant. In stripes, above measure. In prisons, more frequently. In deaths, often. From the Jews, 5 times I received 40 stripes minus one. 3 times I was beaten with rods. 1 I was stoned. 3 I was shipwrecked. A night and a day I have spent in the deep. In journeys often, in perils of water, in perils of robbers, in perils of my own countrymen, in perils of the Gentiles, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren, in weariness and toil, in sleeplessness often, in hunger and thirst, in fastings, often, in cold and nakedness, besides the other things that come upon me daily, my deep concern for all the churches. Who is weak? And I am not weak. Who is made to stumble? And I do not burn with indignation. If I must boast, I will boast in the things which concern my infirmity. Remember that thorn in the flesh that he had? He thought he could serve God better without the thorn in the flesh, asked that it might be removed, and he might be made well, that he might be made whole. And God said, my strength is made perfect in weakness. My strength is evident in you because you serve me in spite of that thorn in the flesh. And so he says, I will boast in the things which concern my infirmity, because when I'm weak, I'm strong. God's strength is evident in me. But did Paul suffer? Obviously he suffered. He was persecuted severely for his faith. If anyone had a reason to deny Christ and to stop living the life of a Christian, it might have been Paul. But he considered lifting up the cross of Christ greater than preserving any health that he might have. Besides the other things that come upon me daily, he says, my deep concern for all the churches. The church is constantly under attack from the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life. The children of Israel is a history of people constantly wanting to go back. They wanted to go back to Egypt. They wanted to go back to idols. They wanted to go back to the carnal way instead of continuing in the way of God. Sad to say, that's the history of people when they are given the law of God. They are given a way of truth and righteousness, a way of light, and yet they always seem to long for the darkness. Their way instead of God's way. Who is made to stumble? And I do not burn with indignation. I'm mad. Mad because somebody put a stumbling block in front of them. Mad because they saw the stumbling block and chose to stumble over it anyway. Yet Paul was certain that he had a perfect Savior. Doesn't matter who denies him and who turns away from him, Paul is going to remain faithful. Doesn't matter how many people persecute him and say bad things about him and do terrible things to him, he's going to remain faithful because he was certain that Jesus of Nazareth was our only hope of salvation. Again, in 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verses 7 through 13, he says, God has not given us a spirit of fear. God has given us a spirit of power, and of love, and of sound mind. Therefore, do not be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me, his prisoner, but share with me in the sufferings for the gospel, according to the power of God, who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which he has given to us in Christ Jesus before time began, but has now revealed by the appearing of our Savior, Jesus Christ, who has abolished death and hath brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. Last couple of weeks we've talked about this unfolding of the mystery and the grand design of God. Do you see it here in this verse? That our salvation was planned in Christ before time began. And we just now, in the gospel, see the light of this truth. This is now revealed by the appearing of our Savior, Jesus Christ, who has abolished death and have brought life and immortality to light through the gospel, to which I was appointed a preacher, an apostle, and a teacher to the Gentiles. For this reason I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I'm not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and I am persuaded that he is able to keep what I have committed to him until that day. Hold fast the pattern of sound words which you have heard from me, in faith and love which are in Christ Jesus. Paul was certain of his salvation in the one and only Savior. He would not let go of it. He was encouraging Timothy here. You know, you're going to experience many of the same things, but don't let go. Hold on to Christ. Be faithful. Hold fast to this pattern of sound words. You know, there are people today, people in the church, who want to deny that there's a pattern of sound words and doctrine. But it's certainly clear that there is such. And we are to hold fast to it in faith and love which are in Christ Jesus. In Colossians 3 and verse 24, we noticed that we know from the Lord that we will receive the reward, for we serve the Lord Jesus Christ. How did he know these things? Because he knew his Savior. He was absolutely convinced that Jesus of Nazareth is the Son of God and the Savior of mankind. Paul was certain that the faithful have an eternal heavenly home, as we've already taken note of. But 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 1, he says, "We know that if our earthly house, this tent, be destroyed, we have a building from God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens." Philippians chapter 3 and verses 20 through 21, he says, "Our citizenship is in heaven, from which we also eagerly wait for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform our lowly body, that it may be conformed to his glorious body, according to the working by which he is able even to subdue all things to himself." Paul was certain of these things. He was certain that his citizenship was in heaven. You know, there's a lot of talk in the news today about those who want to come to this country and just claim citizenship. Doesn't matter how they come in. It's just, well, anybody ought to be able to be a citizen of the United States. Anybody can be a citizen of the United States, but there's a system through which you have to go. There are laws in accordance to that. But people say, no, we don't have to keep the laws of the land to be citizens of the land and to enjoy the benefits of citizenship. That it's just something they assume that they're going to be able to do. And we look at that, and for some reason, there's a lot of citizens of the country who are saying, yeah, that's right, everybody ought to just be able to be a citizen of the United States. And we say, that's crazy. But, you know, people do that with heaven. Everybody thinks they ought to be able to be a citizen of heaven. I'm just going to go to heaven. Everybody ought to be able to go to heaven. Everybody can go to heaven. But there are terms of admission. And you try to sneak up some other way, it's not going to work. The way to heaven is through Jesus Christ and obedience to the gospel. Loving him and keeping his commandments and doing his will. Not turning to the right or to the left. Not adding anything to, not taking anything away from. To be a citizen of heaven, we must be practicing the law of Christ here in this life. Paul was certain of his citizenship. And you and I can be certain of our citizenship just as he was. Paul was certain of his salvation. In 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 12, he says, "For this reason I also suffer these things, nevertheless I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and I am persuaded that he is able to keep what I have committed to him against that day." In chapter 4, verses 6 through 8, he says, "I am now ready to be poured out as a drink offering, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Finally, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give me on that day. And not to me alone, but also to all those who love his appearing." All those who love his appearing are like Paul. They are absolutely convinced that Jesus of Nazareth is the Son of God, the Word of God, made flesh, who dwelt amongst us, who paid the price of death on our behalf, who rose from the dead, now sits at the right hand of the Father. He's the head of the body of the saved. And the body of the saved keeps his commandments, loves him, and keeps his word to his praise and to his glory. The promise of God is that all such people are going to receive this reward, this crown of righteousness. So, Paul was certain about many things. You know, another thing that Paul was certain about, he was certain that this Bible is the Word of God. Remember 2 Timothy chapter 3? All Scripture is breathed of God. It's profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped to every good work. Don't turn to the right, don't turn to the left. You're going to face times in your life that are difficult. You're going to face times in your life that you're uncertain what's going to happen. But life is uncertain. You don't know what's going to be tomorrow, right? James chapter 4 and verse 14, it's a vapor. It appears for a little while and then vanishes away. We don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. But you can face the uncertainties and the challenges of today and tomorrow with confidence, if you are in Christ, and Christ is in you. Is he? Is everything well with your soul today? Do you know that Christ abides in you because you abide in him and his word? You love him, you keep his commandments. You've especially kept that commandment of believing in him, of turning to him, of repenting, of confessing him and being baptized for the remission of your sins. Have you done that? If not, why not? Why not do it today? There is absolutely no doubt that this book is the book of God. There is no greater book on this planet than this book right here. All the mysteries of life, all the mysteries of salvation, all the mysteries of eternity that you and I need to know have been revealed to us in this book. Read it. Study it, meditate on it, and most importantly, practice what's revealed here. And if you're here today and you haven't obeyed the gospel and you know that you need to have your sins washed away, to live with Christ from this day forward, to live for Christ from this day forward, we'd encourage you to take advantage of this opportunity. If you're here today and a child of God and out of favor with him, then let's make correction to that today. Be certain as you leave this place today that it is well with your soul. Would you come? as we stand and sing this song.